This is Audible.
Hachette Audio presents Next Level Thinking, 10 Powerful Thoughts for a Successful and Abundant Life. Written and read by Joel Osteen.
Hi, thanks so much for listening to my new book. It's called Next Level Thinking, 10 Powerful Thoughts for a Successful and Abundant Life. I hope you enjoy it. Chapter 1, Be a Barrier Breaker. So often we let our environment, how we were raised, and other people's expectations of us set the limits for our life. We adapt to what's around us. If you take an oak tree seed and plant it in a 2-foot pot, that oak tree will never become what it was created to be if you leave it in that pot. Not because there's something wrong with the seed, but because of the environment that it's in. It's so easy to just fit in, go with the crowd, be like everyone else. But God didn't create you to be average. He created you to stand out, to go beyond the norm, to leave your mark on this generation. You have seeds of greatness on the inside. You're supposed to go further than the people who raised you. You're supposed to live better, be more successful, and set a new standard. You may be in an environment where people have addictions, low self-esteem, depression, poverty. You can't stop that. But here's the key. Don't let that become normal in your thinking. If you accept that as who you are, it will keep you from your destiny. The scripture speaks of how we are in the world, but we are not of the world. You may be in a limited environment, but you don't have to be of it. Don't let that environment get in you. If you see struggle, lack, poverty long enough, your mind can become conditioned to thinking, this is who I am. I'll always struggle. I'll never have enough. No, that's where you are. That's not who you are. That may be what's been normal. The good news is you're a barrier breaker. You have the power, the favor, the talent, the ability to break out and go further. God breathed his life into you. He calls you the head and not the tail. Don't let your mind become conditioned for mediocrity. Don't let that change who you really are. Sometimes people will try to put us in a box. They'll say things like, you can't start that business. You don't have the resources. You'll never afford a nice place to live, never get well, never meet the right person. Because their thinking is limited, they'll try to put their limitations on you. You have to put your foot down and say, I refuse to be mediocre because people around me are mediocre. I refuse to be addicted, depressed, have low expectations. I know I'm a barrier breaker. I'm going to set a new standard. It starts in your thinking. Nothing will change until you make up in your mind that you're not going to accept mediocrity. Why don't you take the limits off of yourself? You have so much potential. Break out of that box and try something new. The enemy would love to keep that potential from ever coming out. He'll use bad breaks, negative comments, people, circumstances to try to keep you from believing in yourself, from believing that you can rise to the next level. Many people have let their mind become conditioned to thinking they've reached their limits. They're just average. They'll never do anything great. What happened? Instead of breaking out, they've adapted to their environment. I saw a study that was done with fleas. Researchers put fleas in a container and then put a lid on the top. The fleas immediately tried to jump out, but they hit the lid again and again. Before long, they realized they were stuck. At one point, the researchers removed the lid, but much to their surprise, the fleas didn't try to jump out anymore. They had hit that lid so many times that they had become conditioned to thinking that they couldn't get out. Even though the lid was off, they didn't even try. Sometimes, like these fleas, because of the environment we're in, the times we've tried and failed, what people have told us, we've become conditioned to thinking, I can't do anything great. I'll never accomplish my dreams. I'll never get back in shape. It may not have happened in the past. You may have tried and hit that lid a few times, but can I tell you, the lid is coming off. It's time to try again. You were not created to live contained. To get stuck, recondition your mind. That's what happened to a friend of mine. He got off to a rough start in life. He grew up in the projects, was very poor, and had almost no guidance. His father wasn't in his life. His mother had her own struggles. And because of his poor home situation, he was labeled by the state as a child at risk. From the time he was a little boy, that phrase played over and over in his mind. It had become ingrained in his thinking. There's no future for me. I'm a child at risk. He continued to go downhill, getting into trouble, doing what the rest of the crowd was doing. Everyone around him was defeated, depressed, addicted. He fit right in. Your life is going to follow your thoughts. He believed he was at risk, and he became at risk. If you believe you've reached your limits, you have. If you believe you'll never get well, you won't. Because your mind has become conditioned with limitations, it will keep you from your highest potential. You have to be bold and get rid of those thoughts that are holding you back. You may not see how you can do this in your own ability, but you're not on your own. You have the most powerful force in the universe breathing in your direction. God created you to rise higher, to break barriers of the past, to overcome bad habits, to be free from generational curses. People may have labeled you at risk, average, less than, but God labels you well able, equipped, anointed, creative, a masterpiece. The good news is, people don't determine your destiny, God does. What they said about you, the environment you're in now, how you were raised, cannot keep you from your purpose. God has already taken into account every detail of your life, every bad break, every negative comment, how you were raised, what somebody did or didn't do. He's factored that all into his plan. If you'll stay in faith, instead of holding you back, it will propel you forward. Instead of defeating you, it will make you stronger. God knows how to take what was meant for harm and use it to your advantage. One day this young man got into trouble at school and was sent to the counselor. She tried to reason with him, but he wouldn't listen. However, she didn't give up. She kept on trying and trying. Finally, he said to her, "Why are you even bothering with me? I'll never do anything great. I've been told my whole life I'm a child at risk." She looked him in the eyes and said, "Listen to me. You are not a child at risk. You are a child at possibility." When he heard that, something ignited on the inside. He sat up in his chair, said to her, "What do you mean, at possibility?" She said, "You are full of potential. You are smart. You are talented. There's so much you can become." His whole life, he'd heard just the opposite. His mind had become conditioned to thinking, "You'll never get out of the projects. You'll never be successful." That day, a stronghold was broken in his thinking. He reconditioned his mind. Today, this young man owns his own business and is very successful. Plus, he goes around to schools and speaks to other students who are considered to be at risk. He tells them what the counselor told him. "You're not at risk, you're at possibility." Like my friend, people around you may have accepted mediocrity. They may be fine with being average, having little goals, working at an okay job. But don't let that spirit rub off on you. That is not who you are. You're the exception. You're the barrier breaker. You're not limited by your education, by how you were raised, by that environment. God has destined you to rise higher. He's destined you to go to the next level. This is what happened with my father. He grew up in a very poor family on a cotton farm in Paris, Texas, during the Great Depression. At Christmas time, his family was the one that received the Christmas basket that went to the poorest family in the school. He was never allowed to drink a full glass of milk because they couldn't afford it. They could only have a fourth of a glass, then they'd pour water in to make it last longer. But when he was 17 years old, my dad was the first one in the family to give his life to Christ. He made another important decision about his future. He told me, "Joel, I decided on that day that my children would never be raised in the poverty and lack that I was raised in." He changed his mind. And the people around him were good people, but they were limited. Their minds had become conditioned to accept not having enough, to always struggle and lack.
The problem is, if you accept it as your life, you won't do anything about it. It's easy to get comfortable with mediocrity and just adapt to your environment. But when he was a teenager, my father felt something stirring on the inside. It was those seeds of greatness. All the circumstances said he was stuck. He'd have to stay on the farm and pick cotton the rest of his life. But instead of adapting to that environment, his attitude was, "This is not my destiny. I'm going to rise above this. I refuse to live mediocre, wearing hand-me-downs, receiving the Christmas basket. I know I have seeds of greatness. I have potential. I have creativity. The Most High God breathed his life into me." As a teenager, he left the farm. He had to hitchhike to do it, but he went out and started ministering in the jails, in senior citizens' homes, in schools, making a difference wherever he went. He broke the curse of poverty in our family and took us to a new level. He was a barrier breaker. He knew he was made for more. Instead of just fitting into your environment, being like everyone else, why don't you start seeing yourself as a barrier breaker, as the exception? You're supposed to stand out. You're supposed to rise higher. Maybe everyone in your family is depressed except you. You broke out. You're happy. You're full of joy. Everyone is addicted except you. You're free. You're clean. You're helping others. Everyone is struggling. Can't make ends meet. Can't get ahead except you. You're blessed. Good breaks are chasing you down. Opportunities are looking for you. Your gifts and talents are coming out in greater ways. Why is that? You're the exception. You're not arrogant. You don't think you're better than someone else, but you have a quiet confidence, a knowing that you were made for more. If my father had accepted that poverty and a limited education was his lot in life, I wouldn't be where I am today. Are you accepting things that are less than God's best? Have you adapted to a limited environment? You have big dreams in your heart. You know there's a business in you, a management position, a book, a better house, but you're doing as well as your friends. You've gone as far as your family has gone in the past. No, don't settle there. Break out of that mold. Nothing will be sadder than to come to the end of life and realize what we could have become if we had just lived with an at-possibility mindset instead of an at-risk mentality. A couple of years before my dad went to be with the Lord, we drove back to his hometown. Daddy wanted to reminisce and show me where he'd grown up. We went out onto the land where his farm used to be. The house was no longer there, but we found the well. He showed me where he used to pick cotton, where he went to school. Before we left town, we drove around to see if we could find any of his friends. We pulled up to a very run-down house that didn't even look livable. Really, it was nothing more than a shack. There was this older gentleman sitting on the front porch, not wearing a shirt, just killing time. My father went up and said, "I'm John Osteen. Are you so-and-so?" Yes, it was his friend. They hadn't seen each other in over 60 years. This man invited us inside. The place was very dilapidated. There were buckets on the floor to catch the water leaks from the ceiling and broken windows that were boarded up. Later, we went around and found several of my father's other friends. They were all in the same situation, extreme poverty, defeat, mediocrity. They were good people, but it hit me how little they had accomplished in their lives. They had made the mistake of accepting the limitations they were born into and then adapting to their environment. One man told how he'd worked a little here and there, worked down at the boat docks and other odd jobs, barely making it through the years. Another man had been laid off his job 28 years earlier, said he wasn't able to find any more work, so he lived off handouts, with no goals, no dreams, no resources. Now they were at the end of their lives, having never tapped into their potential. That day made such an impression upon me. I thought about how my father was raised in the same environment. He came out of the same mold, the same poverty, the same school. But Daddy went on to touch the world and pastored great churches. He made a difference with his life. I saw firsthand what would have happened if my father had accepted the life of defeat he was born into. If he had not put his foot down, and said, I may have been born into this mediocrity, but I am not settling here. If he had not reconditioned his mind, he would have been sitting right there with the rest of those men. Don't go through life and miss your destiny. You weren't created to get stuck, to settle, to stay at the same place year after year. You were created to excel. There is potential in you right now just waiting to come out. You have gifts that will cause new doors to open, talent that will bring new opportunities. Get rid of low expectations. Quit making excuses to settle where you are. You may be in a limited environment, dysfunction, addictions, depression. The good news is you don't have to stay there. That is not your destiny. Somebody may have labeled you at risk, but the creator of the universe labels you at possibility. You've gone as far as your family and friends. That's good, but don't settle there. You're the exception. You're supposed to go further. Dare to take some steps of faith. Life is flying by. You don't have 10 years to wait around. The odds may be against you, but the Most High God is for you. His favor on your life will cause you to go where you could not go on your own. If you're going to be a barrier breaker, you have to get rid of the excuses. I read about an 8-year-old boy who grew up in Kansas in the early 1900s. During the winter, he and his brother would go to school early to light the wood fire in the large pot-bellied stove in the classroom so it would be warm when the rest of the students arrived. But one day, someone accidentally put gasoline in the kerosene container he used to start the wood on fire. The next morning, when he lit the match, there was a huge explosion. His brother was killed instantly. The teacher came running and found this little boy unconscious, with the lower half of his body burned beyond recognition. She pulled him out of the fire thinking he was dead, but somehow he had survived. He lost all the flesh on his knees and shins, all the toes on his left foot. His mother was told that if he did make it, he would be crippled, never able to walk again. The doctors recommended amputating his legs. But this little boy was a fighter. Against all odds, he survived. He made up his mind he was not only going to walk again, but he told everyone that one day he would run again. His favorite scripture was Isaiah 40. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. As an 8-year-old boy, he had a spirit of faith. He believed he could defy the odds. Months later, he was sent home from the hospital with no movement in his legs. The doctors advised his parents to massage his legs to stretch the muscles and to try to restore some of the suppleness to his lower limbs, which was incredibly painful because of the scar tissue. Every day his mother would take him outside in the wheelchair so he could get some sunshine. One afternoon, when she wasn't watching, he grabbed onto the picket fence and pulled himself up. Stake by stake, he began to drag himself along. He did this day after day, teaching himself how to walk again. They didn't have physical therapy for him to go to. He was his own physical therapist. 2 years after the accident, he stood up for the first time. Not long after that, he was not only walking, he began to run and became extremely fast. In college, on the track team, he won so many medals, he became known as the Kansas City Flyer. In 1934, Glenn Cunningham, the young man who had been told he'd never walk again, he broke the world record in the mile run. If you're going to be a barrier breaker, you have to get rid of the excuses. Quit thinking about what you didn't get, what you can't do, how the odds are against you. You and God are a majority. You have what you need. You're a barrier breaker. You can defy the odds. You can beat the cancer. You can break the addiction. You can start a new business. You can go further than what the experts have told you. As Glenn did, you have to recondition your mind. Instead of dwelling on all the negative things people have said about you, dwell on what God says about you. I will run and not be weary. Instead of you can't break that addiction, I can do all things through Christ. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Instead of, oh man, you've reached your limits. This is not for you today. Declare,
The path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter. God's plans for me are for good and not evil, to give me a future and a hope. Nothing will happen until you change your mind. Glenn could have been laying in bed thinking, wow, too bad for me. Lost my legs. I'll never do anything great. But if he had, we wouldn't be talking about him today. Are there strongholds keeping you back? Have you adapted to an environment and let what people have said about you set the limits for your life? God is saying, this is a new day. You're a barrier breaker. I'm going to take you further, faster than you've imagined. I'm going to help you set a new standard. You're going to defy the odds. Now do your part. Let this seed take root in your spirit. Don't talk yourself out of it. Get in agreement with God. For years, experts said that no one would ever be able to run a mile in under 4 minutes. They studied the human body and thought it would collapse under that much pressure. Scientists said it was not only dangerous to try, but it was literally impossible. But a young man named Roger Bannister didn't believe the negative reports. He didn't let his mind become conditioned to thinking that it couldn't be done. In May 1954, he made history by running a mile in under 4 minutes. What's interesting is that 46 days later, someone else broke the 4-minute mile. Within 10 years, 336 people had run the mile in under 4 minutes' time. It hadn't happened in all the previous years of track and field history. Now it was happening all the time. Why was that? The barrier was broken in people's minds. For years, runners had believed what the experts said. They were convinced in their own thinking that it couldn't happen. Once that barrier was removed, they were able to do things that seemed impossible. Has your mind become conditioned to thinking you can't accomplish your dreams? You can't get well. You'll never break that addiction. If you'll do like Roger and recondition your mind, start thinking better, believing that you're a can-do person, knowing that you have seeds of greatness, you too will break barriers that you thought were impossible. And here's the beauty. When you break a barrier, you make it easier on those that come after you. You're paving the way for your children, for your relatives. That's what it means to set a new standard. That's what my father did. When he broke the curse of poverty, he took our family to a new level. Because he broke that barrier, I was able to start much further along. When my father went to be with the Lord, he left us with an 8,000-seat auditorium. I could have settled there and thought, this is okay. I'm doing as well as my parents, but I did what I'm asking you to do. I stirred up my gifts, said, God, I know I'm not supposed to stay at the same level as my parents. I took a step of faith. God opened the door to the former Compaq Center, which is several times larger than our former facility. That's the way it's supposed to be. God is a progressive God. He wants every generation to increase. There was a young man in the scripture named Hezekiah. He was raised in a very dysfunctional home. His father was King Ahaz of Judah, who set up idols for the people to worship. He was a very hard king and cruel to the people. Because he didn't honor God, the nation went downhill and became very poor. 5 different armies came against Judah, and Judah lost every battle. The place was decimated. You would think that Ahaz would have learned his lesson, turned to God, asked for his help, but it was just the opposite. He closed the doors of the temple and began to sell off sacred treasures. Hezekiah was raised in this environment of compromise, defeat, mediocrity. He could have turned out like his dad. He could have adapted to that environment, but Hezekiah understood this principle. When he became king, the first thing Hezekiah did, before repairing the roads, before getting the economy going, was to reopen the temple. He turned the nation back toward God. His father chose to compromise and push people down, but Hezekiah's attitude was, I might have been born into mediocrity, but I'm not settling here. I'm going to put an end to this generational curse, and I'm going to start a generational blessing. Hezekiah was a barrier breaker. You may be in some kind of limited environment. If Hezekiah were here today, he would tell you, you don't have to stay there. How you start is not important. How you finish is what matters. Do yourself and your family a favor. Break out of that mold.
Don't pass negative things down to the next generation. You can be the difference maker. You can be the one who sets your family on a course to honoring God, a course of blessing, favor, and victory. I'm asking you to recondition your mind. Get rid of strongholds that are keeping you back. You're not at risk. You're at possibility. Stir up your seeds of greatness. Be a barrier breaker. If you'll do this, I believe and declare God is going to breathe on your life in a new way. You're going to go beyond barriers of the past, overcome obstacles, accomplish dreams. You're going to become everything God created you to be. Chapter 2, You Are Fully Loaded. When God created you, He put in you everything you need to fulfill your destiny. God is a strategic God. He's not random. He didn't just create you and say, let's see what He can do. Let's see what happens. God is precise. He's intentional down to the smallest detail. And when He laid out the plan for your life, He studied it carefully. He thought about what you would need and what it would take to get you there. Then He matched you with your world. He gave you the talent you need, the creativity, the strength. You're the right size. You have the right looks, the right personality, the right family. You didn't get shortchanged. You are fully loaded and completely equipped for the race that's been designed for you. Now quit wishing you were something different. If I had a better personality, then I could do something great. If I came from a different family, if I weren't so small, have a new perspective. If you needed to be taller, God would have made you taller. If you needed a different personality, He would have given you one. If you needed to be another nationality, you would be another nationality. God doesn't make mistakes. You're not faulty. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. When God created the universe, when He flung the stars into space, He said, that was good. When He created the mountains, the oceans, the sunsets, He said, that was good. When He made the animals, lions, eagles, butterflies, He said, that was good. But when God created you, when He saw how magnificent you are, how strong, how attractive, how talented, He said, that was very good. He didn't say the solar system was very good. He didn't say the Rocky Mountains were very good. The only time He used very good is when He created you. In Ephesians, He calls you a masterpiece. When the Creator of the universe says, you are very good, that means you are just right. Now don't go around feeling shortchanged, as though somehow you're lacking, you didn't get enough, you can't do what others can do. If you didn't get what somebody else has, that means you don't need it. Quit comparing yourself to others and run your race. Be who God created you to be. You're an original. You have something to offer the world that nobody else has. Let your gifts shine. Show your talent, your personality, your style. We don't need an imitation. We don't need a copy. We need the original you. When you want what somebody else has, when you wish you had their looks, their talent, their personality, the truth is, if you had it, it wouldn't be a blessing. It would be a burden. It wasn't designed for you. The reason it works for them is because it fits them. They're walking in their anointing. You're not anointed to be somebody else. As long as you're trying to be like them, you'll be frustrated. The anointing on your life is to be who God called you to be. Be confident in what you have. Next level thinking says you have the right looks, the right talent, the right personality. May not be what somebody else has, but you're not running their race. When my father went to be with the Lord, he had pastored Lakewood for 40 years. I had been behind the scenes doing the television production. When he died, I'd only ministered one time, but I knew I was supposed to step up and pastor the church. But I thought I needed to be like my dad. After all, people had come to hear him for years. I knew that's what they were expecting from me. For the first few months, I tried to preach like my dad and lead like my dad, but it was a struggle. I had good intentions. I wanted to honor my father, but there's no grace on your life to be somebody else. One day I read in the book of Acts David fulfilled his purpose for his generation. I heard something on the inside say, "Joel, your father fulfilled his purpose. Now quit trying to be like him and go out and fulfill your purpose." It was like a stronghold was broken in my mind. I realized I'm free to be me. I quit trying to imitate my father, and I stepped into my own anointing. That's when the ministry began to grow. I've learned that it's easy to be me. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to perform. That takes all the pressure off. I can relax and just be myself. When you're comfortable with who you are, when you're not trying to impress people, you're not trying to be something that you're not, then your own uniqueness will come out. You'll be more creative. Your talent will come out in greater ways. The right people will show up. Why? Because you've stepped into the anointing on your life. Be you. You are powerful when you're you. And here's a key. Nobody can beat you at being you. You can be a better you than anyone in the world. You have an advantage. You've been anointed to be you. When I minister, I'm more conversational. I don't get real loud and excited. But growing up, I used to think that to be an effective minister, you had to be loud and forceful and dynamic. I have minister friends who are that way, and they are very powerful. That's who they are. But I've learned when you're who you are, you can be quiet and be powerful. You can be small and be powerful. You can be behind the scenes and be powerful. The whole key is to be you. Because when you're you, you activate your anointing. There's a favor, a blessing, a grace that is unique to your life. But too often, when we see someone who's more talented, more successful, more blessed, there's a tendency to be envious and think, "Why can't I do that? I want what they have." If we're not careful, before long, we'll be competing with them, trying to outperform them, outdress them, outdrive them, outwork them. The problem is you're competing with someone who's not in your race. Your race is specifically for you. You're not in competition with your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your siblings. The only competition you have is with yourself to be the best that you can be. I realize I can't preach like Bishop Jakes. I can't sing like my friend Steve Crawford. I can't do surgery like my brother Paul, but I can encourage someone. I can inspire a few people. I can smile. I'm good at that. Don't get distracted trying to keep up with someone who you were never supposed to keep up with. When you understand you are fully loaded for the race that's been designed for you, instead of competing with people, you'll celebrate them. The right attitude is, they may have something that I don't, but that's okay. I'm not running their race. I'm equipped for my destiny. In the scripture, King Saul lost the throne when he saw David rising higher, gaining more influence than him. Instead of celebrating David, he became jealous. When people started singing, "Saul has defeated thousands," he was happy. "People are celebrating me. I'm doing something great." Then the song continued, "And David has defeated tens of thousands." Saul couldn't handle anyone being in front of him. He didn't realize they weren't in the same race. He wasn't competing with David. If Saul had been happy for David, he wouldn't have missed his destiny. When we start competing with people, we get distracted. We lose focus, and before long, we're wasting time on things that are not moving us toward our purpose. Someone has said, successful people are so focused on their own goals that they don't have time to look around to see what everyone else is doing. Run your race. When someone passes you by, don't be intimidated. Be inspired. If God did it for them, He can do it for you. But if you can't celebrate people who are further along than you, you'll never get to where they are. You have to pass the test of being happy for people that have passed you up. Because there's a tendency to be jealous, to start finding fault, being critical, saying they don't deserve it, they're not that talented anyway. Let me tell you some bad things I heard about them. Don't fall into that trap. God showing them favor doesn't mean He's not going to show you favor. Be happy for them. When you see someone who's blessed, who's rising higher, it's easy to think, well, they just had a lot of good breaks. What you might not realize is the favor on their life did not come without pain. The promotion didn't come without struggles, without them fighting off discouragement, without them pressing forward when they felt like giving up. You don't know what it took for them to get where they are. And sometimes we come in on the end of a movie. We see everything working out. They're happy, blessed, successful. What we didn't see was the middle, the tears, the lonely nights, the struggles. Be big enough to celebrate what God is doing in their life. Don't be a Saul. Don't miss your destiny because you're sour that somebody passed you up. Their success is not stopping what God wants to do in your life. God didn't use up all of His favor on them. It's a test. Are you going to compete with them and spend all your energy trying to keep up? Or are you going to celebrate what God has done? You can tell who your true friends are, not by who comes when you fall and are down. When you make a mistake, people will feel sorry for you. They'll show up to help you. That your true friends are the ones that show up when you succeed. They celebrate when you're promoted. They're happy when God blesses you. They're high-fiving you when you move into that new house. You've heard the saying, it's lonely at the top. It's because not everyone can handle your success. Too often people get envious, jealous, critical. Let's pass this test. When somebody passes you by, give them a high-five and keep running your race. Don't look to the left nor to the right. Keep being who God's made you to be. One time I was out running through my neighborhood. I saw a man running about a quarter of a mile in front of me. I thought, I'm going to catch him. I had about a mile to go before I needed to turn off and go down my path. I picked up the pace and started gaining on him and gaining on him. I was feeling great, thinking, look what I'm doing, getting closer and closer. I finally passed him. I beat him. He didn't know we were racing, but I felt good about it. About that time, I realized I had been so focused on catching him that I had missed my turn. I had to turn around and go back about 6 blocks to where I was supposed to turn. That's what happens when we start competing with people. It's a distraction. We're running a race that we're not supposed to be in, competing with people that many times don't even know it. If that man knew we were racing, I'd probably still be trying to catch him. He would have sped up. Don't get distracted. Run your race. In the scripture, John the Baptist was baptizing people and gaining a lot of attention. At one point, the Jewish leaders came and asked if he was the Christ. Without missing a beat, John said, I am not the Messiah. It's important to know not only who you are, but to know who you're not. If you don't know this, you can spend your life trying to be something that you're not. John had no problem saying, I am not the Messiah. He was saying, I don't have to be the Messiah to feel good about myself. I am content with who God made me to be. If you're trying to be something you're not, you'll be frustrated. There's no grace for it. It will be a constant struggle, always like it's uphill. If Saul had understood this, he would have kept the throne. If he had accepted it and said, I am not David, he's defeated tens of thousands and done great things. I've defeated 1,000 and God has blessed me. It would have been a different story. Most of the time we're happy until we start comparing. When Saul heard the numbers, David defeated tens of thousands. I can imagine him asking someone, how many did they say David has defeated? When they answered tens of thousands, Saul's whole perspective changed. He was no longer content with his success. Now he was envious, jealous. He basically spent the rest of his life trying to be David. All he had to do was realize, I am not David. God has blessed him in a different way. We have to understand the sovereignty of God. It may not seem fair to us. It doesn't always make sense, but God's ways are not our ways. The scripture talks about how God has given to every person different gifts, different talents, according to our own ability. Everyone doesn't get the same, but what he gave you is what you need to fulfill your destiny. Whether you're a Saul and you can defeat 1,000, Or you're a David and you can defeat 10,000. The right attitude is, I'm going to take what God has given me and make the most of it. Don't compete. Don't compare. Just run your race. In the parable Jesus told of the talents in Matthew 25, the owner gave one man one talent, another man two talents, and another man five talents. It seems like if God was fair, he would have given them all the same number. But God is sovereign. He might give you five talents and give me two talents. He's God. I can complain about the two, try to compete with you and outperform you, but that doesn't change the fact that you still have five and I still have two. A better approach is to say, God, I recognize you are sovereign. And before you gave me these two talents, I didn't have any. So instead of complaining about the two and competing with the person that has five, I'm going to take these two talents and be the best that I can be. It takes a mature person to recognize what you're not. Knowing what you're not will help you stay focused on becoming who you are. Because there will always be pressures to be this, to be that, to be the other. Everyone will have opinions about you. But down in your heart, you know who you are. You can't let the outside pressures and other people's opinion squeeze you into becoming something that you're not. When I first started ministering, I was young and I didn't have much experience. And I had a lot of people giving me their opinions. They told me how to lead the church, how to minister, what I should speak on. And sometimes it wasn't what they said, it was what they inferred. I could feel the pressure to be who they wanted me to be. And they were good people, but people didn't breathe life into you. People didn't lay out your plan and purpose. People didn't put gifts and talents on the inside. I was always respectful, but I was firm. When I heard a lot of their advice, I knew it wasn't what God put in my heart. I had to be bold enough to say, I am not that. I am not that. I am not that. This is who I am. You have to be strong. It's your destiny. When you come to the end of life, you're not going to answer to people. You're going to answer to God. And people may mean well. They may love you. But if it doesn't bear witness in your spirit, you have to be bold and say like John the Baptist, this is not who I am. Here's the key. You don't have to have a great gift for God to use you in a great way. You know what took David to the throne? It wasn't his leadership skills, his ability to write music, his personality, or his size. What promoted David was his gift of slinging a rock. He was good with a slingshot. When he was a teenager out in the shepherd's fields, he had spent hours practicing while he was caring for his father's sheep. He could have thought, God, why didn't you give me an impressive gift? Why did you just give me one talent? I'm an expert with a slingshot. Big deal. That's never going to take me any place. But if you'll be faithful with the gift you have, if you'll develop it, grow, learn, get better, that gift will open doors to places you've never dreamed. Don't discount your gift. It may seem small to you. Compared to others, it feels insignificant, but there is nothing ordinary about you. You have the fingerprints of God all over you. God made you in His own image. He crowned you with favor. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Don't believe those lies that there's nothing special about you. You're not as talented as your brother. You don't have a big personality like your friend. You don't have the design skills that your coworker has. Maybe you don't have what they have, but you do have a slingshot. There's something God has given you. And that slingshot may seem ordinary, but when God breathes on it, you'll defeat a giant twice your size. You'll be promoted beyond your talent. You'll go places where you didn't have the experience. You weren't next in line, but suddenly the door opens. Suddenly the compact center is yours. Suddenly people are celebrating you. But too often we look at others and think about how great they are. We put them on a pedestal, but God has put greatness in you. He's given you gifts, creativity, dreams. He created you to leave your mark on this generation. You're not supposed to live and die, and nobody knew you were here. There is something significant in you, something that will cause you to stand out in the crowd, something that will cause you to stand out to the point where years from now, people will look back and say, you made the world a better place. Stir up those gifts. Stir up your faith. Don't get so caught up in celebrating others that you don't recognize there's something in you to be celebrated. The prophet Jeremiah said, your word, O Lord, is like fire shut up in my bones. There's something in you shut up. Something big that's about to be released. Dreams, books, movies, inventions, businesses, ministries, potential that you haven't tapped into. Gifts and talents that you didn't know were in you. You haven't seen them yet because it hasn't been the right time, but your season is coming. The good break, the promotion, the opportunity, it's on the way. Now don't be surprised if there's opposition. The promotion may be disguised as Goliath. That giant looks as though it's there to stop you, but it's a setup. It's going to thrust you to the next level. You're going to discover what the slingshot was all about. It was a test. You proved your faithfulness. You did the right thing when no one was watching. You kept a good attitude when it wasn't fair. You celebrated others when you could have been jealous. Now, your time is coming. What's been shut up in your spirit is about to be released. It's going to be bigger, more rewarding, more fulfilling than you've ever imagined. It's not going to come through your neighbor, through your cousin, through your boss, or through your pastor. It's going to come through you. It's your baby. It's your time to be celebrated. This is what happened in the scripture with Sarah. She and her husband Abraham were very old. Sarah had been barren her whole life and not able to have children. But God said to Abraham in Genesis 17, I will give Sarah a son. She will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come out of her. Every circumstance said it was impossible. She was out in the desert. There were no fertility treatments or medical procedures. She was 90 years old. Yet God said, you have kings in you. You have nations in you. He was saying, Sarah, what I put in you is more than you can imagine. God is saying the same thing to you. There are kings in you. There is greatness in you. It's much bigger than what you think. Don't let circumstances talk you out of it. You may not see how it can work out. God has ways that you've never thought of. One touch of God's favor can catapult you to the next level. When Sarah heard this, it was so unbelievable that she laughed. She said, me, have a baby? I don't think so. She loved the idea, but since she was so old, she thought the baby would have to come through somebody else, so she tried to help God out. She had Abraham sleep with her maid, and they had a son. She was so excited, thought, God, you did what you said. God replied, Sarah, that is not the promised child. I didn't put the promise in somebody else. I put the promise in you. At 90 years old, against all odds, she became pregnant and gave birth to a son named Isaac. What God has put in you, He's still going to bring to pass. You are pregnant with destiny. You are pregnant with greatness. It's not going to come through others. You're going to shine. You're going to excel. You're going to be promoted. You're going to be celebrated. You are fully loaded. You are not at a deficit. You are not lacking. You are full of potential, full of favor. Like Sarah, you may have been barren for a long time. You don't see how it can happen. Get ready. This is a new day. Things are changing in your favor. I believe and declare what's been shut up in your spirit is being released. Dreams are being released. Potential, promotion, healing, abundance, vindication, breakthroughs, the fullness of your destiny in Jesus' name. Chapter 3, The Odds Are For You. It's easy to go through life thinking of all the reasons why we can't be successful, why we won't get well, or why we'll never meet the right person. We look at our situations in the natural and think the odds are against us. I talked to a young man who struggles with an addiction. He said, Joel, my dad had this same addiction, and my grandfather struggled with it. The odds don't look too good for me. But as long as you think the odds are against you, you'll get stuck where you are. You have the most powerful force in the universe breathing in your direction. God has crowned you with His favor. He has armed you with strength for every battle. He wouldn't have allowed that difficulty if he wasn't going to turn it around and use it to your advantage. The odds may be against you, but the Most High God is for you. He's a supernatural God. He parts red seas. He turns water into wine. He opens the eyes of the blind. Your circumstances may look impossible, but the God who can do the impossible is working behind the scenes, arranging things in your favor, turning negative situations around. And since God is for you, that means the odds are for you. Don't go through life thinking, "Not me, Joel. I come from the wrong family. The odds are against me." Turn it around. I've been born into a new family. My Heavenly Father controls the universe. I have royal blood flowing through my veins. When you know the odds are for you, you'll put your shoulders back. You'll carry yourself with confidence and expect to do great things. All through the day, this should be playing in our mind. The odds are for me. I'm destined to accomplish my dreams. I'm destined to overcome this challenge. I am a child of the Most High God. But don't be surprised when you find yourself in situations where it feels like the odds are against you. You don't see a way out. There aren't any logical solutions. God puts you there on purpose so that when He turns it around, nobody will get the credit except Him. Everyone will know it's the hand of the Lord. When your circumstances seem impossible, instead of being discouraged, thinking, "God, why me?" get ready. You're in perfect position for God to show out in your life and take you to the next level. He's setting you up to show you His favor in amazing ways. This is what happened in the scripture to a man named Gideon. The Midianites and two other armies came against him. They were about to attack the Israelites. Gideon sent word to his men to come and fight. 32,000 warriors showed up. But the enemy forces had 135,000 men. I can imagine Gideon was discouraged. He was outnumbered 5-1 when God said to him, "You have too many men. If you defeat the Midianites, you will think you did it in your own strength." He instructed Gideon to let everyone who was afraid go home. 22,000 men left. Gideon nearly passed out. Two-thirds of his army went home. He didn't like these odds anymore. When he thought it couldn't get any worse, God said, "Gideon, you still have too many." He told him to eliminate even more men. Gideon was finally left with only 300 men to fight an army of over 100,000. These odds seemed impossible. It looked as though Gideon would be wiped out. What Gideon didn't realize was that God wasn't setting him back. He was setting him up. He was about to show out in Gideon's life. Gideon and those 300 men went to the enemy's camp in the middle of the night, blew their trumpets, and let out a loud shout. The Midians got confused in the darkness and began to fight among themselves. The Israelites defeated them. They hardly had to lift a finger to do it. It looked like a setback. The truth is, God was setting Gideon up. He was putting him in position to show himself strong. When the odds seem like they're against you, the obstacles look bigger, stronger, more powerful, don't worry. Like with Gideon, it's a setup. God's about to make things happen that you could never make happen. He's going to turn that situation around without having you to go to battle. He's going to heal you without the extensive treatment. He's going to promote you without all of the qualifications. Keep the right perspective. Next level thinking says the odds are for you. You may feel like you're the underdog, but you and God are a majority. You don't need everyone to be for you. You don't have to have all the support and encouragement. You have the one who matters. The Most High God is breathing in your direction. Later, when the Israelites went to different cities, their armies would have usually attacked them. But the leader said, in effect, "Gideon, we saw what your God did to the Midianites. They weren't afraid of Gideon. They were afraid of the God of Gideon. They knew the Lord was on his side." God wants to give you victory to where people know the Lord is on your side. Maybe you didn't have the support growing up, the encouragement, the stability. You should have been a statistic, but here you are, defying the odds, leaving your mark, going further than you ever dreamed. What happened? The Lord is on your side. The medical report said you wouldn't make it, but here you are, strong, healthy, whole. The Lord is on your side. Perhaps the odds said you would be addicted like your father. You would struggle like your grandfather, but here you are, free and clean. You broke the curse. You're setting a new standard. How could this be? The Lord is on your side. When we were trying to acquire the former compact center, every expert told us that we wouldn't get it, that the city wasn't going to let a church have it. On the surface, the odds were against us. But we understood this principle. When you don't see a way, when you feel outnumbered, when the giants look bigger and have more resources, more experience, that means God is up to something. Like with Gideon, he's getting you in position to launch you to the next level. God made things happen that we could never make happen. Some of the people who were against us, the same ones who said we'd never get it, are now our biggest supporters. One of the city council members that voted against us, a very vocal opponent, later said, "Joel, that was the biggest mistake of my political career. I watch you every Sunday. I bring people to your services. I don't know what I was thinking back then." I didn't tell him, but he was a part of the setup. God was using him to launch us forward. That's what it says in the book of Exodus. God caused Pharaoh to harden his heart so that he could bring great glory at the expense of Pharaoh. God told Moses to go tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." But God knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to let them go. He caused them to harden his heart. God was setting up the odds to be against the Israelites so he could show his favor. In the same way, you may not like it that people and circumstances have come against you. It wasn't fair, but it was ordained by God, not to stop you, not to defeat you, but so that God can show out in your life. Now quit complaining about what didn't work out, wondering why am I facing these giants. If you'll stay in faith, it's just a matter of time before God turns around those obstacles that look like they're stopping you and uses them to push you forward. The odds are against you for one reason, so God can bring great glory out of your life. He wants to make you an example of his goodness. Remember when the three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, wouldn't bow down to the king's golden idol? The king got so furious that he was going to have them thrown into a fiery furnace. He told his men to heat up the fire 7 times hotter than normal. What was God doing? Making the odds even greater. God knew the fire wasn't going to burn them. He knew they weren't going to be harmed. He had them turn it up even 7 times hotter so it would become a greater miracle. When the three Hebrew teenagers came out of the fire without even the smell of smoke on their clothes, there wasn't any doubt that the Lord was on their side. In fact, the same king said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." When it feels like the odds are against you, the fire has been turned up 7 times hotter, when Pharaoh won't let you go, when God took your army from 32,000 to 300, don't panic. Don't fall apart. It's a setup. God's about to show up. He's about to make you a testimony. He's going to do something that people cannot deny. They're going to know the Lord is on your side. I talked to a man who cut his hand and developed a severe infection. He tried for several days to tough it out and hope that it would go away, but it kept getting worse. He started running a high fever. It got to the point where he couldn't eat. He finally passed out and was rushed to the emergency room unconscious. The doctors told his family that he had some kind of toxic shock. There was only a 50% chance that he would live. They had to find the right antibiotic to treat him. Every hour that went by without the right treatment, his chance of survival went down 5%. If they didn't find something in the next few hours, the doctor said that he probably wouldn't make it. And if somehow he did survive, he would be in a vegetative state. 12 hours went by. They hadn't found the right antibiotic. One day later, still nothing. It was 264 hours later when they finally found the right treatment.
He wasn't supposed to still be alive. He was told he'd never be able to walk, talk, or function properly, but today he's perfectly healthy. You would never know anything was wrong. God could have healed this man the first day. The doctors could have found the right treatment in the first few hours. That would have been a great miracle. But sometimes God will let the odds grow even greater to where you don't see a way out.